so much of good news to share from God's Word that He tells us about, even surrounding the birth of His dear Son. And if you ever try to explain to a friend or family member something from faith in Christ, the Bible, that has impacted your life, you'll find a response that could be a lot like Mary's. Your friend will probably end up quoting Mary without knowing it as you share about some things. You could start off, for example, by saying, you know, God created the whole world from nothing. There was nothing there. And then He created the whole world and there was no light. And all of a sudden He said, let there be light. And there was light. And you see all these lights out at nighttime, all these Christmas lights on people's homes and shopping places and so on. That's all from God, because He made light. Whether it's the sunlight or whether it's electricity, light, He made the light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And your friend might look at you and say, well, how can this be? How can this be? Or you might get more specific about Jesus and say, you know, there was a man who was crucified when he was about 33 years old, and he died a horrible death. And he was buried, and he was dead. He was dead for 3 days. And after being dead for 3 days, he rose from the dead. And at one time, more than 500 people saw him at the same time. And today, that very man who rose from the dead, around the world, there are 2 billion people worshiping him and following him, the one who was dead and crucified long time ago in the Middle East. And even in America, it's pretty secular. 52 million people on a given Sunday morning, they're gathering to praise the name of the one I'm telling you about. And your friend will probably say, how can this be? How can this be? Quite something that we can't explain. And how God works in a powerful way in the works that He has, works that are almost like a mystery. A mystery is something you can't explain altogether, but it's still true, and you can believe it. It could be a life changer, even if you can't explain the details. And certainly that was happening to Mary's heart as the angel Gabriel came to her. And as the angel comes to Mary, the angel Gabriel, first you might think, has an angel ever come to you? You know, people have different experiences with God and so forth. But has anybody ever had an angel, a literal Bible angel, come and appear to them, perhaps at nighttime or during the day or maybe, you know, at work, church service? Anybody? Don't be ashamed of it. Perhaps it was anybody. Okay, I didn't think so. Now, the guys who are here, the guys who are married, you're supposed to have your hand up and you're supposed to say, when I met my wife, that was an angel appearing to me right there. Come on, fellas, get some biblical faith in there, will you? There you go. All right. But Gabriel comes, a real angel, and appears to Mary. And he says, Mary, he says, rejoice, Mary. Hail, Mary. You're full of grace. The Lord is with you. I remember saying those words when I was a little boy, first and second grade, you know, hearing some things in what they called catechism class. Hail, Mary. Greetings, Mary. Greetings is like a very weak translation. Greetings. Can't picture Gabriel saying that. Rejoice, Mary. You're full of grace. God's unmerited favor is with you. He's going to give you a free gift, Mary. And the Lord is with you. It's wonderful. We can see God everywhere we go, but when He's really with us, He's with us. Heard a message the other day. Somebody said, God is present, but when you're in trouble, He's very present. Very present. Well, He was very present to Mary, for sure. And so Mary was troubled with this messenger. She was afraid. She didn't understand. Might say dazed and confused. Gabriel says, don't be afraid. You'll have a son and his name will be Jesus. And he will be Son of the Most High and he will reign as king. and his kingdom will never end. Now, that's enough to take your breath away right there, especially, well, Mary says, she says the word, how can this be? I don't understand. I haven't been close to any man. I'm not even married and so forth. And the angel gives her more news. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God will overshadow you. And this child will be called Son of the Most High. For with God, nothing is impossible. You could live your whole life on the truth of that verse. You know, things that are impossible for us. With God, nothing is impossible. It would be impossible for us to turn from our sin and have a life where we went from being spiritually dead to being alive with Christ. But with God, nothing is impossible. Could any Christian man or woman follow Jesus effectively in today's world? You know, when so much of the world, no time for Jesus. Jesus, I'm good with you if you just center everything around me. All kind of grotesque responses to the Lord Almighty. But God would say, hey, with God, nothing is impossible. There's people today who could follow Jesus very, very effectively by the grace of God. And, you know, you and I could be one of them. And how wonderful he is. And when the angel says that, Mary doesn't say, oh, I get it. You've just explained to me the incarnation. You know, that answers all my questions, Gabriel. You should write a book on apologetics, and it would be a big seller. And I have no more questions. Thank you very much. Mary doesn't do that. Okay, she doesn't say that. But she's affected forever by what she can't explain, but it's still the truth. And Mary says this. This is a great response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me what you have said. May it be to me what you have said. Isn't that a great response? If you have a devotional time, you're reading God's word, you know, you're trying to figure out, you're scratching your head and so on. And it's a little bit unclear what God wants you to do with this good truth. Well, he'll set you free anyway. Or you're praying and you're wondering, oh, Lord, what should I do? Or you're in the worship service, hearing a song, hearing a sermon, and your response is basically, whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want, because I'm a servant of his. That's a wonderful response Mary gave. And she said, Gabriel, whatever you say. You know, amen, Gabriel. And I don't understand it, but I serve God. And the Living Bible puts her response this way. It's kind of real neat. I'm willing to be anything God wants, she said. And then the next verse in the Living Bible says, and she took off with haste to the hills of Judea in those days. Mary said, I'm heading to the hills. I have no idea what's going on here, but it's something big. God's doing something big, not just in my life, but in all of history. And he's gonna draw so many people to himself. So we have the truth of Jesus. He's incomprehensible. His name is wonderful. He's a child, but he's the everlasting Father. How can this be? And he changes lives forever. And we might be like Mary to say, hey, well, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he says, that's what I want to go with. And so what a really good response. The mystery of Jesus coming. Sometimes we see that in the songs that people sing and are written, and Marcy and the choir and what we sang. Here's an old song, Of the Father's Love Begotten. It's in our hymn book. Sometimes it's sung. It happens to go providentially again to the, goes along to the tune, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the source and ending. You could go with that. But these words are great. This is Jesus coming to Mary. This is Jesus coming to you and me. What's he like? He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That was John Unterreiner's testimony, by the way, that he wrote down. He said when he saw in a devotional, Jesus was the first and the last of everything. He said he dropped to his knees and trusted Christ. He is Alpha and Omega. He the source and ending. He of the things that are, things were happening to Mary, things that are happening today in your life, the things that are and have been. God's finger on your past. Okay, not you at the center and God at the sidelines helping you occasionally. God at the center and Him occasionally letting you in on what He's doing. So, are you like, who was the guy on the Notre Dame team? Rudy. You know, put me in. He was glad to get in one play. And he became famous for the next, 50 years. God's doing things. He says, okay, now you come. Of the things that are and have been and the future years shall see. What a wonderful Lord we have. We can't explain Him, but we have a chance to follow Him. It's written by 400 A.D. You can, somebody says, what's a famous Christmas song you like? You know, you could bring this one up at the office party. You'll be a big hit, you know. Oh, yeah, really, it's Prudentius, 400 A.D. <They'll say. laughs> But the blessing of the Lord, okay, that you would give your heart to Him. Well, Aurelius Prudentius gave his heart to Him. And so did 52 million, hopefully, who worship Him today. And you're, by the grace of God, you could be one of them. But how the Lord is, and we can't explain Him, but we could trust Him. We could trust what's beyond us, the mystery of the gift of Jesus. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. And then when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. And Mary certainly had that in her soul in the midst of her own fear and confusion. So some mysteries that God gives us, I mean, even in our own lives, can you explain why you even exist, you know? At one time in history, a very short time ago, you weren't even here. Your soul, nothing. And from nothing, God made you. How do you do that, you know? How can this be? And a lot with your own relationship to Christ. How He knocked on the door of your heart when maybe you least expect it. Or He put you in a family that taught you from a childhood about the Lord. What a gift. But the mysteries from God that we're given the opportunity to believe, to trust Him in order to understand Him. One time a Christian was talking to his friend again, telling him about certain things about the Lord, and the man said, you know, until I understand it, I'm not going to believe it. And the Christian said, you know, until you believe, until you trust God, you're really not going to understand Him. Until you trust Him, you're really not going to understand Him or follow Him for that matter. So to give your heart to Him and the evidence of His graciousness. Well, here's some wonderful mysteries from God. You might say, well, all of life, wonderful mystery. Christmas itself, Jesus born of a virgin, fully God and fully man. Nobody else is like that. Nobody else claims to be like that. You know, not Buddha, not Muhammad, nobody claims to be fully God and fully man. And here's Jesus, worthy of our trust, our heart. And so we can thank Him. That's the way He came to us. Creation itself, God creates the whole world out of nothing, and the new birth that we experience. In the Living Bible, it says our relationship with God, how it got started, is almost like the wind. You ever try to capture the wind? You can put your kite up and it'll go somewhere, but you're not going to capture the wind. The wind's going to capture you. Okay. And then Jesus would say, we don't know on whom God will next bestow this life from heaven. That's what He told Nicodemus. When Nicodemus said, how are you going to be born again? Jesus said, the wind blows where it's gonna. We can't even know whom the Spirit is going to call to Himself. What a wonderful gift. And so He knocked on the door of your heart. And then God revealed as the Trinity. Wonderful way the Lord is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, If you concentrate on one too much, you know, you get in trouble with the Father. You might get him too far away. If you say, well, just the Holy Spirit, you know, and that, what a blessing. And yet sometimes people get their own thoughts mixed up with what the Holy Spirit told them. The Holy Spirit told me to stay home from church. Don't go. Sorry, that was you. That was you. That was not the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the bridge for us. And sometimes if you try to, instead of bowing to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you try to explain him too much or separate his persons, you'll end up a Mormon. Because they say, well, they like the Father, and Jesus is like right here, and he became God, you know, or Jehovah's Witness. That's what you end up. So have one like he revealed himself. That's a good thing. And then the wonderful gift of the inspiration of the Bible without error. That's a great mystery. We pick up the book. We say, God wrote this book, but people wrote the book too. And so God can give a straight line with a crooked stick. You know, the truth that we could rely on. Jesus helps us with this. We're, you know, sharing with our own soul and we're with others. Somebody said, why do you read that book, you know? What's so trustworthy about that? You could say, well, you know, Jesus, when he had his Bible, the Old Testament, he said, Scripture cannot be broken. So if Jesus, I trust Jesus' character. You know, and it might help me if Ravi Zacharias and C.S. Lewis and Lee Strobel explain to me some extras on why to trust the Bible. But if Jesus said, that can't be broken, I'm going with him. I'm going to keep it simple. Okay. And the wonderful gift of the Word of God. And then, of course, you have God's sovereignty, man's responsibility, two great gifts of God. He made us for a relationship with himself, hearts restless till we find our rest in him. Some things that might be helpful in relating to your own heart. We usually deal with this mystery when we're in pain or waiting for something to happen. Lord, please provide. And I know I will go. You know, the illustration, God provides the food for the birds. They get out of the nest and get the food. In one point of view, it's all God and it's all our responsibility. Those who study that a lot, they're usually in the Reformed group. Joe Cox, ask him about this. He went to seminary in that neck of the woods, and I don't know what he's talking about, but it's fantastic. It's true. Now, he's one of the best in explaining these things. He's embarrassed, but this is a compliment, Joe. But God's, you know, his finger's on everything, but you better jump in there. Evangelical often, God will walk to you 99 steps, but you take that last step. You make the decision, okay? And so you're going to trust God like Mary had to and so forth. That's somewhat helpful. And dear Roman Catholic friends, I hope I'm doing them justice here. Often they say, well, God, you know, he's in control of everything, but you better. We got the seven sacraments, and we got a lot of stuff for you to do, okay? So you better work, or you no heaven for you, buddy. And even after you're gone, we'll be praying for you because you're 50% stunk, okay? This is the way I was trained. Now, I could have been had bad priests, but I don't know. We'll have to check them out. But sometimes that's the case. They still want to trust the Lord. You don't want to trust in yourself too much. Doesn't end up being good news. And then the person who's like barely, okay, I know God will help me, but it's on me. It's hard to hear good news when you're in that boat. Trust his sovereignty. Know you're responsible. This is a mystery from God. Here, just two more. Jesus' resurrection, great gift that we know both by evidence and by, well, he changed my life. An apparition didn't change my life. My imagination didn't change my life. He changed my life. He's alive. And, of course, the second coming, a big one. All teaching, good teaching on the second coming concentrates on be at peace with God, receive Him, be ready, be serving Him, pass on the good news, and share the news to those who haven't heard. That's the really good teaching on the second coming. And as far as who, when, why, what time, what year, you know, are we going to be here? Are we not going to be here? Be quiet already. Concentrate on salvation, readiness, missions. You'll be a lot better off. You'll be a lot more effective, unless you want to get in the tangled roots of the second coming. Huh? That would be a good sermon. Sorry. So the Lord's good. Get 100 Christians in the room. 100 of them are going to say, He's coming. And we're ready. And we can't wait. And we're busy sharing Him and serving the good news. The wonderful things we can't explain, but we could trust the true truth that Mary was impacted by and you and I can be impacted by. And we could be like Job sometimes. Job never did understand why God did what he did. But Job at the end of the book said, now I see you. Now I know who you are, God, and now I know who I am. Okay, in a lot of ways, we're left with this this encouragement. God gave us a big head to figure things out. It's a big head. How many have a big head? I got a big head. We have a big head and a small brain. How many have a small brain? We have a big head and a small brain and a broken heart and a lot of needs. And we could trust God with our big head and our small brain and our broken heart. And we could come to Him and say, well, I don't understand everything, but I understand I'm your servant. And whatever you say, that's what I want. That's what I want. And so God gives us a chance, and we thank God for Mary. At least, you know, Mary, she was wonderful in her response to the dear Lord Jesus. And we could follow Him that way too. Follow Him that way. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your the way You impacted Mary. It was a surprise. She was in shock. Yet she followed. She says, okay, Lord, if You say so. And look what happened. Good news. Just crashed into history in every possible way and changed lives all the way to Irwin area as people worship You. Might we pass on this dear good news that You came to bring. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. Might we follow You all the way to heaven, Lord. When we know and when we don't know, we sure can trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.